Let's return to Milo's Internet Marketing on TalkZone.com.
Welcome back, and we've got Andy with us, and he's got a lot of things to cover. One, he's going to talk about the new LED screens that are popping up around town. He's going to give us information on a internet letter that's coming out that talks about domain renewal. It's really important you'll hear about that because that can kind of throw you for a loss. And he's going to talk a little bit more about Snow Leopard. Andy, what about those new screens that are out?
Yeah, I just wanted to mention real quick, it's a new technology that we're all going to be seeing a lot more of in the near future. It's a new LED. Now, we're all used to, we had plasma televisions, then LCD, which is the liquid crystal display. LED is a light-emitting diode. That's what the LED stands for. And it really could change the way you watch TV, among other things, too. It's a new technology that... The new process, it creates tiny, ultra-thin, inorganic light-emitting diodes. They shine brighter and last longer than conventional LEDs. We're all used to LED lighting, but these are inorganic light-emitting diodes. So they're calling it micro-LED, and what they could do is they can actually print this on a thin sheet of plastic, which can be bent around your finger or shaped into a number of different shapes. The inorganic LEDs are bright and long-lasting, but they're costly, and that's the big issue here. They're trying to get the cost down. The organic LEDs that we're used to are cheaper and easier to make. So the new process kind of combines those two, and we're going to see a lot more LED displays in the near future, whether it's for your computer or your TV or the healthcare industry, we'll be seeing it. So I just wanted to give our listeners a heads up on that. Milo, I got an email this past week from a user that thought he was renewing his domain name. He got a letter in the mail, and it was regarding the renewal of his domain name. What it looks like a legitimate letter from a company regarding the renewal of their domain name. The letter looks like an invoice that you simply need to, pass on to your payables department and have it paid. What it is, though, under further inspection, this user noticed that it was actually a domain transfer request, that if he completed it and paid for it, it would allow another company to gain control of his domain name. In many cases, these letters, because I've read more about it, in many cases, these letters come from a place called Domain Registry of America or something similar to that. And in the fine print, it states that by signing the invoice and remitting it the payment, that you agree to transfer your domain name to their service. So if you receive a letter about renewal of your domain name, make sure that you don't fill it out until you read the small print, make sure it's legitimate, make sure it's the company you bought your domain name from, because we all know that your domain name is one of the most important items that you own as a business. And so make sure that keeping it secure, is a top priority. So pay attention to those letters.
Another thing I saw the other day that there's somebody out there that are sending notices that say your Bank of America credit card bill is due. And then it sends you this link and you click on it and it opens up like Bank of America. You put your name and passcode in it and they've got your name and passcode to your bank account, to your credit card number. So there's a lot of things out there. People spend more time trying to take people's money and do illegitimate things with it, which is too bad. So if you get anything that's questionable, don't act upon it. Talk to friends. Go to AskAndy at AOL.com, and you'll certainly respond to it like you did here.
Sure.
A number of articles on that. So there's a lot of things out there that, we all know about the letters that you won. We're holding $500,000 in a bank account for you. If you send us $300, we can process the funds and mail it to you. There's still a lot of people that will go and send the $300. It's sad.
My best advice, Milo, from our listeners is just use your common sense. If you get, one of these emails that says something like that, or recently I got an email that looked like a legitimate email from PayPal, and it said that I needed to update my user information and just, but I needed to log in to do that. And then it brings me to a login screen that looks like a legitimate PayPal login screen. But as soon as I, if you were to put in your username and your password, whatever their this email was attempting to do, all of a sudden they've got access to your PayPal account. So always use common sense. And at the same time, if you ever have questions about something and you're sure that it's legitimate, but there's a little bit of doubt in your mind, maybe, for instance, this PayPal email I got, rather than just follow the instructions and do what it says, proactively, you know, send PayPal an email and ask them if this is something that they really sent you, if this is something they need, give them a call on the phone. If you're calling them or contacting them directly, then you know you're talking to who you want to talk to. And, you know, if you call them on the phone and they really do need your information, then you can just give them their information over the phone. It's nice and secure and everything's fine. So if you ever have any doubts, again, use your common sense. Just double check on it. It's better to be safe than sorry, especially in this world that we live in today.
Right. I don't know of any place that ever asked you to update your profile. You do that on your own when you want to do that. So, so oftentimes they'll say we had another thing that I've read is they'll say we had a glitch in our system and we lost all our passwords and please help us and send us your password. And people do that freely. You should never give out your password.
Yeah. So just use your common sense. If you have any concerns and you don't know how to contact anyone about the specifics of something questionable, like you said, shoot me an email. Go to milosinternetmarketing.com. Click on the Ask Andy button and shoot me an email, and I'll look into it, and I'll definitely respond to you either through email or maybe I'll talk about it on the show.
And I don't want to sound morbid. We talked about this once before, but if you have a number of passwords used for bank accounts or programs or anything, you should put them in a separate paper and put them in your lockbox or put them away somewhere so in case you do pass away, whether expectedly or unexpectedly, people then have access to your accounts. They can close them out. They can update them. They can do whatever they need to do. So it's good to have them down somewhere, but off, put away somewhere so people don't have access to them unless they really need it. Sometimes people will just put it with their lawyer, with their will, and that's there so that something happens, they have access. Many times it's the husband or the wife, and then they have family. They have all these things on their computer. Nobody knows the password. So it's not fair to the spouse left or the children left to be able to untangle all this, because you know if it's PayPal and you have an account and you pass away and I try to get into your account, it's next to impossible
sure. To
ever do that. And so you've got this fees.
Right, and PayPal doesn't have to be very cooperative with releasing that information to you. So yeah, it's a good idea, Milo.
Right. So anyway, you've got some more things.
Yeah, before we go today,
I
wanted to just discuss again a few of the things in the new Mac operating system, Snow Leopard, the 10.6, that might be useful for people like me who prefer to use Windows or are forced to use Windows more than a Macintosh. In the next few weeks, we'll be going back and forth talking about the Mac operating system and the new Windows 7 that's coming out in late October. So I just wanted to throw out a couple tips there for my fellow Windows users that might help you if you're using the new Mac operating system. Or if you're just deciding to switch over to it, which is, you know, that's your prerogative. Today I wanted to talk about some of the Finder tips and tricks. The Finder, as most of us know, is it's Macintosh's version of Windows Explorer. So a couple things I wanted to mention. Number one, that the new Finder in 10.6 has an undo feature, which in Windows we're used to under the edit menu, there's always the undo feature, but the shortcut for it in Windows is Control Z. Well, in the Macintosh Snow Leopard, the keyboard shortcut for that is Command Z. So it's very easy for us Windows users to cross over into that world. To move up a level in the Finder. So for instance, in Windows Explorer, if you wanted to go up a folder or back to a folder, in Macintosh, you can use the keyboard shortcut of Command Up Arrow. And that'll take you to the one folder level up from the one you're currently in. In Windows Explorer, the backspace button did the same thing. So that'll be a little bit of an adjustment for us Windows users, not a big deal. Command up arrow will take you to the previous folder. There's a cool feature in the Finder, which I wish Windows would incorporate in there. This one's really neat, though. You can command click directly onto the name of the folder at the top of the window, and this will give you a navigable drop-down display of its path. So this means that you'll see what folder it's in and what folder that's in. You'll see all of the parent folders up until the file or the folder that you're looking at. And you can click on any of those folders to navigate directly there. So it's a cool feature that Finder has that I hope Microsoft pays attention to. This also works for most documents too, which is cool. If you're working in a Word document, for instance, and you have no idea what folder it's in, just command click on the document's name at the top of the window, and it'll tell you right away where the folder's located on the hard drive. If you like the Windows option, rather, of always displaying your path in the address bar, which I have a Windows Explorer set to do, you can have the Finder do the same thing. Under the View menu, check on the Show Path bar, and it'll show the full path of any file or folder that you're looking into. There's a universal preview feature in Finder, which is neat. This is a quick look feature that lets you, well, take a quick look at the contents of a large number of files without having to open them. So this would relate to the preview feature in Windows Explorer, that if you have a bunch of pictures or music or videos, you can select them all and click on preview, and it'll bring up a window kind of like a slideshow. So Finder has that feature built into it as well. One cool thing, which hopefully Microsoft will pay attention to again, is renaming a file. You can rename it through the Finder while the file is actually open. So if you're working on a Word document, for instance, and it has a generic name, or you want to change the name of it for whatever reason, you can change the name of it in the Finder, and it'll automatically change the name at the top of your Windows document that you're working on. I mean, it legitimately changes the name of the file while you're working in it. So that's kind of a neat thing too. Like I said, in future weeks, we'll talk about other keys and tips and tricks that we can use. We'll get more into Windows 7 in the next few weeks, and we'll talk more about Snow Leopard as well.
Well, I think what you brought out is important, that there really is not a lot of difference between Windows and Mac. There is, but there isn't. The look and feel is, but they're getting more and more similar.
They're trying to get closer together, because they're trying to appeal to all audiences.
Right. Yeah. And they really have to, because that's where it's going. And eventually, as we get more and more cloud-based things, you know, they all have to be pretty well standardized at that point, whether it's...
And an operating system is going to mean much less in the future, too, because most things won't be running on a local computer.
Right. Well, thank you, Andy, and that's about all for today. Thanks our engineer, Randy Meyer, TalkZone.com, but especially to you, our listeners. We appreciate you. Until next time, this is Milo saying so long, everybody.